everyone had a wonderful Independence Day weekend, and we're glad to have you back here for this edition of Believe in Titans podcast as we continue to roll through the off season with Denard Walker. Denard, how are you?
I'm doing great, David. How are you and John doing?
I'm doing great. And John Glennon, of course. John, how are you?
I am well, and yourself?
Doing good, thank you. We talked 2 weeks ago at length about Jeffrey Simmons and his contract situation. Of course, the Titans have picked up his fifth-year option, meaning he's under their control right now through 2023. A.J. Brown, of course, the second-round pick in the 2019 draft, is now in Philadelphia. But there are three others from that draft class. I mean, this was a big-time draft for John Robinson and the Titans. And, third-round pick Nate Davis is the starting right guard. Fourth-round pick Amani Hooker is the starting safety opposite Kevin Byard. And sixth-round pick David Long, acquired with a pick from Miami in the Ryan Tannehill trade, is a starter at inside linebacker. So, you know, all good, all important players right now. Let's look at these three from the perspective of, hypothetically, the situation dictates that you can only sign one to a contract extension this offseason prior to the start of the season. John Glennon, I'll start with you. Who's it going to be and why?
Ooh, on the hot seat immediately. Ah, all right, a little pressure here to start off. I think certainly the one who is contributing the most right now in that group is probably Amani Hooker, or perhaps playing best of that group right now. You know, I think he's been an excellent complement to Kevin Byard. You know, he's really stepped up almost each year. You've seen some type of growth in his game. That said, however, if I'm only going to be able to re-sign one, I'm actually not going to go with Amani Hooker. I'm going to go with Nate Davis, which might be a little surprise. Reasoning, there's a lot of stability right now on the Titans offensive line. You know, we've still got two positions that are open. We don't know how long, you know, Taylor Lewan and Ben Jones are going to be playing, you know, both veterans and both getting up in years a bit. So I'd like some stability on that offensive line moving forward. Nate Davis provides that. I think he took a little bit of a step back last year in terms of his overall game. But I think a lot of that had to do with two bouts of COVID. You know, at least one, probably two concussions that kept him out for three games. So if you can get him back to that level that he was kind of moving towards in 2020, I like his game. I like the fact that you can kind of anchor part of the line around him moving forward. So it's a tough call for me between Hooker and Davis. I lean with Davis, and I don't mean to throw shade at David Long because he's great, but I do see Monty Rice on the depth chart as well as a potential future replacement there.
Denard Walker, same question to you. You can only sign one of these three guys for past this season.
Well, you know what? Obviously he is a offensive minded guy. So I'm going to I figured he was going to say that, but I love David Long Jr. I love his play, but I'm, as a former secondary guy, I'm going to go with my man, Amani Hooker, the former fourth rounder out of Iowa. And this is why I would say I would sign him, is because there's three names. And when I look at these three, I'm talking about Roger McGarry, your second round pick this year in 2022. I talk about Christian Fulton, your second round pick just a couple of years ago. And then your man, Caleb Farley. So, again, you got these three young corners. So when I have three young corners, that scares the heck out of me if I'm a defensive back coach. And what I need to cover up their flaws, I need two experienced safeties. You got one of the best duos in the NFL, other than Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde. Who's better than these two? I don't even think those two at Buffalo are better than Amani Hooker and Kevin Byard. Listen, when I was reading something the other day, and it was called completion rate against the pass. And so the first 2 years it had Hooker, Amani at 82.6 to 68.6. Now, I don't even read stats because I think stats are misleading. But anytime when you're talking about a player being production is when those numbers start going down. That's a good thing for a defensive back. And what I love about this group, I love the chemistry between these two. So when I have a young secondary, I have an experienced defensive line. I have two great linebackers. But what I fear the most is two inexperienced corners other than Christian Fulton. And I need those guys at time for someone to cover up their flaws. And again, you got two of the best back there. So I'm signing Amani Hooker right away.
Yeah, it's an interesting discussion because a lot of times these decisions aren't made based on how good a guy is, and in this case they're obviously all good productive players, but it's do you have somebody to replace them? You know, Mike Vrabel says it all the time. You're always looking to get younger and cheaper, and David Long, I think we all agree a terrific player, physical presence there in the linebacker group, but you drafted Monty Rice last year, who looks like he's a really similar player, and assuming that he shows more of that this year, you're going to be willing to let David Long walk and have Monty Rice step in there for the next 2 years because you've already done a deal with Zach Cunningham to where he's presumably going to be locked into his position for a couple of years. That being said, there is nobody to take Nate Davis's place right now, who's younger and cheaper. But do you want to spend big money on a guard when, as John, you pointed out, Taylor Lewan isn't getting any younger. Ben Jones isn't getting any younger. You know, you're going to have to spend on a left tackle one way or another, whether it's draft capital, whether it's free agent dollars somewhere. And then you go to Amani Hooker, where you just drafted Theo Jackson this year. And you think, maybe Theo Jackson can step in there. But I almost feel like Jackson is the guy who's going to force Kevin Byard out eventually. Probably not. It's certainly not this year. Probably not next year. But maybe in 2024, you say, well, Theo Jackson's ready, and Kevin Byard, as great as you have been, we're gonna get a lot cheaper at that spot. So I'm kind of contradicting myself a little bit here with this, but I think that's. I think I'm going to go with Amani Hooker with the idea that he and Theo Jackson will be paired together for years on the other side of this. After Hooker, to your point, Denard, plays another couple years with Byard behind a young group of cornerbacks there. But I would assume. At least one of these guys is going to get a deal, don't we think? Denardi, of course Simmons is going to get a deal, but at least one of these guys has to get one too, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, look at it. I mean, let's just look at last year's team. I mean, look at who were your Pro Bowl players last year. It was Kevin Byard and Roger Saffold, right? Those were your 2020s, the two individuals that you had to make this Pro Bowl. Well, Roger Saffold is in Minnesota. He's out.
In Buffalo,
Dan Quisenberry, actually. Yeah. Dan Quisenberry was your right tackle last year. He's in Buffalo. Rashawn Evans, again, we knew Rashawn. You knew that they're not going to sign him to a fifth-year extension. So he's in Atlanta now, and Jayon Brown. So two of your starting linebackers are in Atlanta and Las Vegas. And the way the game is played is every year, someone told me this, and it's very simple. Is they have a draft for a reason. The reason for the draft is to replace people that are already there. That is an unfortunate, and when I heard that, it's true. So once again, we know that probably at least two of these players are going to be gone next year. That's just the way the business works. That's the business side of the game. So again, I mean, if it's Amani, because it also depends on production. It depends on how production a player is that season. So if he has a bad year, that can end up hurting him. If he has a good year, again, there's 31 other teams that might be looking for a strong safety. So you just don't know.
Yeah, John, that brings up a good point. Is the reality that these three guys are all playing for a contract this season? I mean, is there a chance that none of them get an extension prior to the season? and all of them are sort of playing for their Titans' lives in one way or another this season?
Certainly possible. You know, I mean, there are certain guys that we've looked at, you know, over the years, whether it's Jeffrey Simmons or Taylor Lewan or Kevin Byard, and you say, absolutely, no question, these guys will get an extension before their contract is done. These guys don't necessarily fit into the absolutely certain, but certainly all playing well enough and playing key enough roles that you could see it happening. You know, one thing that comes to mind for me, and this may or may not play into the decision as well, but, you know, you've got the Titans spending an awful lot of money on defense already. I mean, you've got Dupree's salary, you've got Landry's salary, Simmons at some point is going to have a whopper of a salary. Byard's got a big salary as well. You know, if you're going to add Hooker to that group, you know, that's a ton of big salaries defensively, you know, for a team that's probably going to be rebuilding offensively and is going to need some cash on that side of the ball too. So, you know, maybe that factors in as well. I still think they get one of these guys done before the year and, you know, let the figures flow from that point.
Can't help but think, though, too, as good as that 2019 draft class has been, that the Titans missed an opportunity with their 20 and 21. I mean, both those classes sort of, I think you would rank as, to this point at least, below average overall. And if they had been average to above average, given as good as 2019 was, they could have really set themselves up for to have been better than they were last year and to be talked about sort of differently right now than they're being talked about. But
I do think also that there are still some question marks, you know, in those draft classes,
right.
You know, obviously, you know, Caleb Farley, you know, Rashad Weaver, you know, some other guys, even the two receivers, you know, maybe there's some more that we haven't seen yet. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, that 2019 class came in, boom, was making an impact right away. And there was no doubt about it. We're still waiting, especially, I think, 2020 too good there, but 2021 at least you say, okay, you know, there's some questions that still have to be answered.
The book is not written on them, but that 2019 class should have been a foundational class that, and let's face it, it's not like this team has been garbage since then. I mean, 9-7 and 12-5, a couple division titles and you know all that, so there has been a payoff, but you can't help but think that the payoff could have been bigger than it's been had the subsequent drafts been better. Speaking of drafts, and not drafts. Let's switch to the other side of the ball since we all talked a lot about Amani Hooker and the defense here. Let's talk about the wide receiver group, which. We've kind of talked about these guys individually. Let's talk a little bit collectively. Obviously, we don't know what Treylon Burks is going to do. We don't know how healthy Robert Woods is going to be. Another rookie, Kyle Phillips, is that right? Kyle Phillips. Why am I losing his name right there? But Kyle Phillips is in the mix, and you've got Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, of course, who's Mr. Swiss Army Knife. I think we can all agree those four are going to be on the roster. Beyond that, you've got guys, John, you mentioned them, last year's wide receivers and Dez Fitzpatrick, Racy McMath. You've got Mason Kinsey and Cody Hollister, who have kicked around the practice squad for a couple of years. How many wide receivers should this team carry into the season, and who among that group is most likely to nail down a roster spot, and why? I'll start with you, Denard Walker.
Well, let's see, how many guys last year did they take into the regular season? It depends on that staff.
I believe it was seven, I think.
Seven, so seven players. So,
but a couple years ago, it was five, I think.
That
seems to be a position where they feel like they can play with the number a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And each team varies. You know, I know when I was in Denver, they had probably about five players that, you know, they would take into the season. But again, John, it seems like you and David are very high on Cal Phillips, so I'm going to lock him in as my number four. And I was kind of going through the other names and the other players, Des Fitzpatrick, Racing McMath, Cody Hollister, Josh Malone, Reggie Roberson Sr., Mason Kinsey, Juwan Green. And, well, right now there's no Will Fuller siding, so I haven't got my wish. Odell Beckham is not in
town. Early.
I know, Odell Beckham, and, of course, I know, David, you alluded to Julio Jones. I mean, could he be back in 2022? I mean, it's a possibility because – and I was looking and I said, well, and John, you and David know this better than I do because y'all are there in camps. But when I look at this receiving core and I look at Robert Woods coming off of an ACL injury, I'm saying to myself, will he be 100% by week one? And we've talked about – Treylon Burks. I mean, it seems like every podcast we've been through. And I looked and I said, well, if Robert Woods is not ready to go, and let's say Treylon Burks is not up to par, guess who your starting receivers possibly can be? You're talking about Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, who is a consistent receiver, but it could be Dez Fitzpatrick, your fourth rounder from last year. And then after that, let's just say Treylon Burks is not ready. He's still having issues with his asthma. It looks like his backup could either be Cal Phillips or Racy McMath, your sixth rounder from a year ago, could step into the starting lineup, because after those two or three, that's the core of your receivers. And I was looking and I'm saying, out of those two guys, who do you, out of those players that I just mentioned, Diggs, Fitzpatrick, Racy McMath, I'm going with those two because you drafted those individuals for a reason. You drafted Dez Fitzpatrick high because when he was coming out of Louisville, he showed that potential to be good. He showed that, but he's not great. And what better coach, when you're talking about Dez Fitzpatrick and Racing McMath, you think about Rob Moore. I mean, their body size are similar. Rob is a big, 6'3", 230. I played against Rob when he was at Arizona, and I played with him when he was at Denver. So he can get in there, and if he could just get those guys up to par, show them how to create separation with their bodies, because that is an asset. When you're that big, let's not forget, this is going to be a key factor in will these two be there next year, is the fact that can they play special teams? How much more can you do? So if I'm Racy McMath, that's what his strongest attribute when they drafted him was his ability to play special teams. So who's going to have a say in that could be special teams coach Craig Aukerman, and which one of these guys are we going to keep? Because right now, this receiving core, I mean, you just don't know. There's a lot of question marks.
John Glennon, who do you like among that group? What's the magic number, you think?
Magic number, I think, to me right now, has to be seven. And the reasoning, I think, because you still have question marks with Robert Woods, with Treylon Burks. And, you know, maybe those question marks are answered by the end of camp, and maybe you can cut one spot there. But as of now, I think it has to be seven because you want to have backups. I think the four that we've mentioned, yes, I believe they're locks. Kyle Phillips, not necessarily because he's been a tremendous showing in the offseason, but he's a potential return guy. He's a draft pick. They're going to kind of give him the benefit of the doubt. So I think he's a lock. But after the sort of the big four, I think number five to me in terms of priority that they keep is Racy McMath. And Denard, I think you hit the nail on the head there, special teams. Racy McMath is a guy that plays a lot of special teams. You know how much an emphasis the Titans have put on special teams. And I think that's really going to help him, secure a spot there. And then it gets interesting to me. I'll give, Dez Fitzpatrick certainly didn't have a banner rookie season. In fact, he was cut coming out of training camp. But, I think I've heard enough encouraging words about this offseason. Rob Moore, has pumped him up pretty well. And Mike Vrabel has talked about his maturity, how he's, grown in that respect also. So I'll give him six. And then number seven, I'm going with the hometown kid. I'm going Josh Malone here. And it's a tight call, you know, because Cody Hollister is another guy who's had 3-4 years in this system. You know, he's contributed. He can play special teams as well. But I sort of like the potential upside of Josh Malone, even though he didn't even play in the NFL last year. He was on a couple practice squads, didn't actually suit up for a game. But, you know, when Rob Moore says things like he's ecstatic about what he has seen from Josh Malone here during the offseason, we've seen him flash. We've seen some big catches during the offseason from him. And I still think there's that upside, you know, of a fourth-round pick years ago. It has not panned out so far. But, you know, he's another guy, big guy, can do some things. And we've seen him excel. Maybe now he's on his – you know, is his third NFL team, his full NFL team, not just a practice squad. Maybe that's the trick for him. He's back in his home state, in his home region, feeling good about himself. I'll slide the hometown kid in there, Josh Malone at number seven.
Yeah, I'm gonna dispel this one myth right off the bat. I know I've seen some of this on social media. People are talking about what a great training camp battle it's going to be between Mason Kinsey and Kyle Phillips for the slot receiver spot. And, Mason Kinsey is a nice guy. He's an easy guy to root for. You love his story, a Division III guy who was told at every turn, you're not going to make it. He told the story at one point last season, even when he was in college, he had to write like a paper about his career aspirations or something. And he told his teacher what he was going to write. And the teacher told him, no, you got to pick an actual job. And he said, no, I'm going to be in the NFL. And you really admire his determination and all that. But I mean, he is going to have to be way better than Kyle Phillips, you know, to take a spot away from a fifth round pick there. And I just, you know, that's just not going to happen. But I think, you know, Racy McMath is sort of he's the guy who's going to make the number. If the number's five, McMath's going to make it six. If the number's six, McMath is going to make it seven. Because I think you keep him as a special teams guy first, and then, you know, you throw him into the offense as you need him, because that was sort of the book on him coming out of LSU. He's a great gunner, big body, all those sorts of things. And he's going to be in the number, but I think he's actually going to be a special teamer more than a wide receiver. The guy who intrigues me, and I think his time might come, is Cody Hollister. And I think back, you know, this is a guy who was undrafted in 2017. He's been in the league 5 years now and has played in just 10 games. And I think back, remember the New York Mets pitcher, Anthony Young, who was like 0-20 or 0-24 or something like that one season back in the late 80s, early 90s, whenever it was. And all the discussion was, you have to be really good to be that bad, because anybody else, you know, would have been sent to the minor leagues at some point. But, he was good enough that they kept trotting him out, and he kept getting beaten. That's kind of what I feel like Cody Hollister is. He's good enough. If he's good enough that he's been around this long, eventually you're going to have to play him. And I thought he was off to a good start in camp last year, got hurt fairly early and was almost, you know, was pretty much, I thought he was done for the year. They actually waived him with an injury settlement, re-signed him later, brought him back, and he got into three games late in the year. But the one thing I will not forget, and I don't know how many people realize this, in 2019, he played in five games, first five games of his career. And the second one was December 1st of that year at Indianapolis. It was Ryan Tannehill's fifth or sixth start. I think it was his sixth start. And Cody Hollister played two snaps on offense in that game, and just two, and came out of that game with two catches for 13 yards. So that says to me that, you know, that's a guy that the quarterback knows. That's a guy that the quarterback sees when he's out there. And at 6'4", 216 pounds, he's that big body you assume is willing and able to block in the run game the way this team likes. So You know, Cody Hollister is the guy that really intrigues me, and I think if he stays healthy in camp, this is going to be his chance to earn a roster spot. We'll see, but we'll see how that plays out. It is going to be one of those fun numbers games, I think, when it comes down to the final 53-man roster there.
David, I'm a little shocked, of course, first off, that you did not even mention the true dark horse at the wide receiver position, former SMU standout, Reggie Roberson, your school, yeah. Your guy,
Reggie Roberson. Guy. Yeah.
I am a little bit intrigued by him, I have to say, just because of the numbers that he put up in college and the speed he has.
Yeah.
You know, his last year in college, the numbers weren't as good because that was his first year coming back from ACL, but if he can get that speed back, and he's a potential return guy too. We know how much the Titans need speed, so I'm kind of curious to get a little bit more of a look at him at training camp. Certainly not a favorite to win a roster spot, but interesting guy to take a look at.
Yeah, it seems to me though the general approach under John Robinson and Mike Vrabel is you start with what you know. And, you know, you stock these guys on the practice squad and give them their opportunities a little later rather than give them their opportunities. Roberson does look like a guy who would probably get an opportunity at some point, just not right out of the gate. Last week, we talked a lot about the Indianapolis Colts, what they have that kind of scares you. And certainly the Colts look like the Titans' chief opposition for first place in this division, but there are two other teams, and this week we'll take a look at another one of those, the Jacksonville Jaguars specifically. Funny sort of team. They were in the AFC Championship game not all that long ago, and looked like they had turned a corner, have been a miserable franchise since, gone through a couple head coaches. They're on another new one this year. But Denard Walker, if you're the Titans and you're doing your off-season work on the Jaguars, what scares you about them?
Nothing at all. other than a coaching change, I mean, of course, the great Urban Meyer is out, so we're not going to have a lot of discussion about some soaps that we can eventually talk about. But you got Doug Peterson in. I think that's a huge hire. I like Doug Peterson. I actually played in the league for a long time, about 10 years. He was Brett Favre's backup. He was the backup quarterback. And you got to understand, Coach Peterson comes from that Andy Reid cut. You know, he's a very smart man. He knows how to develop quarterbacks, and he knows how to put players in position to succeed. Look what he did at Philly in 2017. He won a Super Bowl. So, again, that's been the most intriguing hire in the league for me, is you bringing in a really solid football coach. And as far as the players that they've added on, listen, the situation with Christian Kirk, I know he had a big year last year in Arizona. He's a slot receiver. He's not a number one receiver. But again, they paid him some, I don't know how much money. Was it some $84 million over 4 years for a guy that even put up, 1,000 yards? So again, you bring in defensively Darius Williams and Shaquille Griffin. But the key to that team, what really scares me, and I'm going to say this, John and David, is Arden Key. I've been a big fan of Arden since he was a San Francisco. Unfortunately, he's had a lot of issues off the field. But if he can get his act together, he can be one of the most dominating defensive players on the field and in this league. So, again, that is an intriguing signing. So, again, just the addition of Arden Key, that's going to be huge for that defense for Jacksonville.
John Glennon, what do you see that you like, or if you're the Titans, would concern you about Jacksonville?
Yeah, you know, I think the thing that stood out about Jacksonville most this offseason is that they spent an outrageous amount of money. I want to say it wound up being, what, like $270 million in free agency, which was far more than any other team. And they overpaid a lot.
Yes.
But at the same time, I think they certainly got better as well. You know, we could say it's a low bar based on what Jacksonville was last year. But, you know, I think there's a lot of reasons to kind of like offensively, you know, what Jacksonville should be better at this year. You know, Trevor Lawrence has a year NFL experience under his belt. And as you mentioned, Denard, he's now working under Doug Peterson as opposed to Urban Meyer. Big, big difference. Let's remember they're getting Travis Etienne back at running back, missed all of last year. You know, should be a good talent in the backfield. Wide receivers, again, did they overpay? Absolutely. Christian Kirk, but they did. Zay Jones, they did. But yeah, you have those guys and you add Marvin Jones. Not a bad little group there. Evan Engram, you brought in as a tight end. Again, probably overpaid for him. But you're better, certainly. So I think they've made some strides, and they've added some on the offensive line too. And then you flip it over on defense, and then all of a sudden you've got, you know, the number one pick overall in the draft, Trayvon Walker, lining up across from Josh Allen on that defensive line. That's a couple of pretty good edge rushers. And, you know, they brought in two guys, neither whose names I really feel comfortable pronouncing. But both of them, I think, are going to be good on the D-line. Foley Fotukasi was one of the best defensive line additions out there. I think he's going to be a good player. And the inside linebacker, Foye Oluokun, is my best guess. I'm sure I butchered it to heck. But he led the NFL in tackles last year. He's going to come in there at inside linebacker. So, you know, do I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be contending for the title in the AFC South? No, but I do think they are going to be noticeably better because of the personnel changes and the coaching changes.
Yeah, I would say the biggest concern for me, if I'm the Titans, is it looks like Jacksonville has a plan. You know, they this is not the first year they have spent big in free agency, but it felt like in previous years they sort of spent just to spend, and every move. You know, now clearly they're not all going to work out, but you can sort of see what it's designed. And if you just look at the pass receivers they got specifically, you know, Zay Jones has never set the world on fire, but the one thing you know Zay Jones can do is he can run down the field fast, right? Christian Kirk didn't put up any kind of massive numbers, but Christian Kirk is a classic slot receiver. He's going to be that guy for them. Marvin Jones is a proven route runner, a veteran guy with savvy who knows how to get open. Evan Engram's a good sized tight end with good speed. Maybe he doesn't blow you away with any of his physical skills, but he has produced in the league, and you can see how they all fit together in a route tree, for example, to help Trevor Lawrence. So I think some of the defensive moves are similar in that you sort of see why exactly these guys were brought in, and it's not just, oh, let's spend money, get players, and then see what we have. So that, and John, you mentioned Travis Etienne. I think he's a fascinating player that, you know, you got nothing out of last year, but a guy you can use a lot of different ways on offense in combination with James Robinson, who has given the Titans some trouble over the years. So I think I think this is they might be one of the more interesting teams. And I'll ask you, we'll go around real quickly. Denard, what kind of win total do you think is reasonable to expect for Jacksonville this year?
Well, how many games did they win last year? Was it, three?
I got it right here. Hold on.
It was probably about four games that they won total.
If that
4-13 last year,
they were 3-14 last year.
3-4. Oh, it's not that much of a difference. So if you 3-14 and you talk with all these talking about all of these additions to Laquan Treadmill, again, he's a new sheriff in town. We saw him in Mississippi. I think he's kind of on the back end of his career, but I think he needs to prove himself. I think he's a huge addition. Christian Kirk, I thought they got that receiving corps a lot stronger. I thought defensively, Tyson Campbell, their first round in 2021, he struggled last year. They bring in two more cornerbacks, and Darius Williams, Shaquille Griffin. I see this team possibly going, they'll win at least three more games. I really believe next year they can put win six games.
John Glennon, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I'll not. I don't have their schedule right in front of me, so I can't go through game by game. But yeah, just off the top of my head, I would think 6, even 7 wins. Is credible. I think it's better, a noticeably better group of players, and they'll certainly be under a better system and a better coaching situation there.
I'm going to say 7 or 8. I think they're going to be just shy of 500. And, if Trevor Lawrence is the quarterback that a lot of people think he is, they could be dangerous quickly here. But still, I think we agree, not a legitimate challenger to the Titans spot atop that division. And that will do it for today. That is a quick half hour plus, but we have an enjoyable conversation as always. We hope you have enjoyed it. We will do it again next week. Denard Walker, you have a good week. Thank you,
You
sir.
too. Thank you.
John Glennon, until next week.
Sounds good. See you guys.
Okay, and I'm David Beauclair. Thank you, everyone, again, for listening to All Titans, or excuse me, Believe in Titans podcast. And we will talk to you next week.